Beautiful congregation. Thank God for the presence of every one of you. As Brother Jamie just prayed, let's continue to pray for those who are forfeiting this blessing. A lot of empty seats here that I wish that some that grew up with me in this church would come and feel. When I leave this world, I don't want to borrow a church or a pastor. As I come this morning, my heart is heavy. Yes, Brother Joe, our car is going to break down on the side of the road sometimes. Our brother-in-law will get sick, Brother Jewel. We'll wonder how our sister's going to handle it. We'll watch scenes from Turkey and Syria and the Ukraine. And we'll wonder, how are we going to handle these things? You know, in Scripture, one of the Scriptures that I have trouble embracing, but the Apostle Paul said it. He said, I glory in tribulation, because tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. You know, it's in times of tribulation we realize how short our army is, how weak that we are. Probably everyone under the sound of my voice this morning, without exception, and probably the older you are a little bit, that age is bears on that some, but there's probably not a one under the sound of my voice this morning that doesn't have something. It's weighing a little bit heavy on your soul this morning. I mention it so often in my efforts to preach from the book of Job in chapter 14, verse 1. He says, man who's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Turn with me this morning to Psalm 112. Psalm 112, and I'm going to read about the first 7 verses. If you have your Bible, and I encourage you to bring your Bible to church with you, the 1611 King James translation of God's Word. It says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there riseth light in the darkness. You ever need any light in the darkness? Every day. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man sheweth favor and tendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. And pay attention to verse 7 in particular. He should not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. He should not be afraid of evil tidings. So this morning, it seemed like we receive evil tidings. That's bad news. Seems like it's come at us constantly, Brother Jewel. There's something all the time. I guess since my precious companion passed away and on April 10th of 2003, almost 20 years ago, my natural brother has become my best friend. And he's been diagnosed with hepatic cirrhosis. And I'm fearful. He should not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. That's the best advice I can give you today. Trust in the Lord. This morning we're going to look at some things that Bible characters, we try to glean so much from them. Why did God write this book? The word of this prophecy came not by the will of man, but as holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This Bible is good for all scriptures given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good work, all good work. Friends, to help you with the struggles you have in this life, I'm going to point you to this book. I'm going to point you to this book and the author of this book. Yeah, there's a lot of different authors in these 66 books of this Bible, but again, holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Go back with me to 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. We find a great king by the name of Hezekiah, king of Judah. There's some good reading about Hezekiah if you read the chapters previous to this. And he was a godly king of Judah. But he got word Isaiah the prophet came to him and told him to set his house in order. But I shall die and not live. Now let's look at some things about this. We're not talking about a man that's 120 years old that's worn out and ready to go home. If you read this, you'll find out he became king at age 25, and he ruled for 29 years. But in the 14th year of his reign, there comes this great prophet to him and says, "Set your house in order because you're going to die and not live." What did Hezekiah do when he received that news? He turned his face to the wall and prayed. And he wasn't negotiating a bargain with God there, Brother James. He was just trying to point, "Lord, I've tried to serve you. And I know that every good gift and every perfect gift is from the Father. I need thee every hour, O precious Lord. I need thee." And I love how that's written in Scripture. It said before Isaiah got to the middle court, the Lord answered that prayer and said, "Oh, my brother Hezekiah, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. I will grant unto you 15 years. And I paraphrase there. But still, you know, as I look at things, he was 39 at the time. He died at 54. You know, the way we look at things, Lord, you could have let him live longer than that. You know, song, "Only the Good Die Young." I don't believe that for a minute. That little song too, you know, "I'd rather laugh with the sinners and cry with the saints." Not me. Yeah, sometimes we get here and we cry because our hearts are broken. But a lot of times it's because, yeah, you know it. It's because we realize we're heirs of God's grace. Romans 8:18 says, "I reckon the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us." We sing that song sometime when we all get to heaven. The third verse is, "Just one glimpse of him in glory will all the toils of life repay." Friends, we are a blessed people. He should not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. We need to pray about these things. Hezekiah prayed, and the Lord added unto his life 15 years. And lived to be 54 years of age, and he left this world. But you know, I look at these things. John the Baptist. Oh, there's not a greater man than John the Baptist, except Jesus Christ. He died at age 32. Son of God at 33 and a half years old, Bible scholars tell me. Today is the day of salvation. Let's live for him right now. Let's trust in him with the problems that we have. And I can't take the problems away from you. A man who's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. I'm going to go to a place that where we were on Zoom the other night, and back in Exodus chapter 33. In Exodus chapter 33, the first thing we do about our problems, we need to pray about them. In Exodus chapter 32, we found some people that Moses had gone up on Mount Sinai for 40 days. and spent time up there with God, and God had written the Ten Commandments. And they had been, in the meantime, they got over these 40 days, they wondered what happened to Moses, and they took off the earrings from the men and the women, took all these ornaments of gold and threw them into fire. And Aaron, Moses' brother, said, "We threw them into fire and it came out this calf." The Bible says he fashioned them with a graven tool. Now in Exodus 33, the very next chapter, we find some things that are happening that are bittersweet. The Lord tells them, said, "Go up from hence." They're camped out by Mount Horeb, which is Mount Sinai, the same mountain where the Lord went up to the top of that mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 33, we find that the Lord says, "I will send my angel before you to drive out your enemies from before you." All those ites, the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Perizzites. "I'll drive all of them out away from you, but I'm not going to go with you because you're a stiff-necked people." Stiff-necked means obstinate, incapable of being led. I try to picture this in your mind. He's telling them to go, but he said, "I'm not going to go with you." There's a song, I don't think it's in this book, but I know Brother Lowell McLean used to love it. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go. If he don't go with us, I don't want to go. He said, "I'm not going to go with you." And it was two things involved there. He said, "I'm not going with you because you're an evil, you're a stiff-necked people." He said, "If I did go with you, I would consume you in the wilderness." So if you didn't go with them, they're in trouble. If he does go with them, they're in trouble. And they heard these evil tidings. I want to correct something I said Wednesday night on Zoom. Brother James was right here in the Bible to tell us. I said, I didn't know which one happened first, him taking off the earrings and taking off those ornaments, or the Lord instructed him to do so. I don't think they would have took them off without. It said that the Lord had told Moses to tell him to remove thy ornaments. Remove these temptations from life. Sometimes we need to move all the distractions from our life and focus our attention upon how God would have us handle these things that affect us every day in our life. All these, we mentioned in the song this morning, all the cares of men, all those things. I don't even remember. I can't even try to quote that song right now, but I don't even try to. But remove thy ornaments. But we find something beautiful here in Scripture as we continue. He said, "Remove thy ornaments that I may determine what I will do unto thee." And I'm paraphrasing here. I'm not going to try to read it to you this morning, but there in that camp, there at Mount Horeb, Moses set up the tabernacle of the congregation a great way off. I don't know how far that was. I think it was in distance. I'm pretty sure it was in distance of the camp, but some way away from the camp. And those who wanted to worship went there and worshiped. In this particular moment, Moses went there. That Joshua was in the tent as well. But he went to the tabernacle of the congregation, and all those that were all those gathered at the tent rose and stood at the door of their tent and watched Moses go into this tabernacle of the congregation. The Bible said a cloudy pillar came down to where that tabernacle was. And the Lord, it said, spoke to Moses as a man speaketh to his friend. I've never heard the audible voice of the Son of God, but I've heard that still small voice before. He said he spoke to Moses as a man speaketh to his friend. And Moses said, "Lord, I know I found grace in your sight." He told him, said, "I'll be gracious unto whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy unto whom I will show mercy." But he said, "My presence will go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Don't you know Moses waiting to hear that? Don't you know that's what he went to that temple to pray for, that tabernacle of the congregation to pray for that day? "Lord, please go with me." I love that song. It's in our book of Antioch, but I don't think it's in this one. "Redeemed, who gives me a song in the night." The Bible says that, you know, weeping endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Take off the ornaments. Take off the things that distract us in life. This past Friday night, I say our girls because that's where I coach at Bogachilla, lost to West Lincoln in the district championship game. And Sister Carabeth Addison went to the free throw line 19 times and made 18 of them. That's pretty good in the pressure of a district championship game. But I told Brother Luke after the game, I said, she's probably one of the few players in that participated around our area that spends more time with a basketball in their hand than they do the cell phone in their hand. I'm not fussing at you this morning. But young people, that's a lot of young people in this congregation this morning. And I thank God for your lives. If you hadn't suffered, you hadn't lived long enough. It's going to happen. You got problems in life that mama can't fix and daddy can't fix. I want you to look to one, I want to point you to one this morning who can fix those problems, who will go with you into the wilderness when it's time to go. Remove thy ornaments. Take off the things. You know, I love what it says there. Where's that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1? Since we are compassed about with such a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience a race that is set before us, ever looking to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him. What's the joy set before him? That some sweet day he'll come get all those that he shed his precious blood for and will take us into the eternal presence of the Son of God the Father, where we'll have no more problems on this earth. It'll be over. It'll be over then. When we wake in his likeness, we'll be satisfied. What a day that will be, friends, when we look upon the face of the Son of God. But let's remove the distractions. Make this a priority. I'm going to point out something to you in a few moments that just hit me this morning as I read it early this morning. The more I read this book, the sweeter it becomes to me. I'm like that. I don't want to be like Ezekiel. They handed that roll to him, and he said he ate that roll, and it was to him as honey for sweetness. It tasted good to him. Yes, some of this is hard to digest, if you will. It was difficult when I began to read about the Lord said, I want you to go up from hence. You move from this mountain on toward Canaan's land, that land that flows with milk and honey that I promised unto the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You move on toward that, but I'm not going with you, because if I do, I'll consume you in the wilderness. Then he said, no, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. And friends, he'd bring water from the flinty rock as they went. Let's move on. Pray. Remove thy ornaments, or put off thy ornaments. The next one I want to talk to you about is remember Zion. Remember Zion. That's how you're going to face these problems. I can't imagine trying to face the problems of this world, Brother Joe, without having this opportunity to come to the Lord's house at the appointed time. And set our affection, singular, as Brother Philip Conley said, set our affection on things above. But remember Zion. You know, in Psalm 137, beginning in verse 1, there was a time when the children of God were in bondage in Babylonia for 70 years, in Babylonian captivity. I can't imagine, what was it, 430 years that the Israelites were in Egyptian bondage. Think about the generations that came and went, that lived in Egypt. And their home was Canaan's land. Their home was Israel, God's elect, God's chosen people, the symbolic of God's chosen people. But then there in Psalm 137, it said this, By the rivers of Babylon we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps on the willow trees in the midst thereof, and those that took us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Can you imagine? Think about this for a moment. Mirth is one of those words that doesn't mean what it sounds like. It's a gloomy word to me. I've always said that, but it doesn't mean it means jubilation. It means great celebration. They said, we want you to sing one of those old songs of Zion, and we want you to sing it with a smile on your face. And what was their response? How can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land? How can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land? I encourage you to sing the old songs of Zion. You may say, well, Brother Mickey, I don't sing that good. I don't care that you don't sing good. I do, but I don't. I can't fix it. You know, sometime we'll have Sister Nancy Butler sing the national anthem at ball games at Bogus Hill, and she does such an excellent job. And one night on the PA system, I said, you will have to agree that she's improving now that I've become her voice coach. And there was laughter all out through the bleachers, and nobody believed that. I can't help you with your singing voice. But sing praises to His name. Not everybody can sing like Brother Joe Young or Brother Danny or others in this congregation. Brother Levi. But sing to His glory and honor. Remember Zion. Remember Zion is representative of the church. There's many times in my life when I face problems and I say, boy, if I can just get to the church Sunday morning. But it's Sunday, well, hurry up and get here, Brother James. I'll be feeling better. Remember Zion. I love, you know, here's another bittersweet story too. There's a man by the name of Jonah. Y'all remember Jonah? He was told to go preach to a wicked city of Nineveh. And that city was quite a distance from him. And he didn't want to go. I don't think I'd want to go either. I don't think I'd want to go preach to that wicked city of Nineveh. So what he did, he went down to Joppa. And instead of buying a ship fare to go northeast to Nineveh, where he was supposed to go, I said about 750 miles or so, he bought a ticket to go the opposite direction, all the way to the west along the Mediterranean Sea to Tarshish, which was at least 2,500 miles away. He was going to say, "No, Lord, I'm not going. I'm going in the opposite direction." And you know how that turned out. He found himself in the belly of a whale. It said a great fish in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it said it was a whale. I'll take the Lord's word for it. It was a whale. They said, man, anatomically, a whale can't swallow a man. This one could, and this one did. I don't fully understand it. I don't know how a man could live for 72 hours in the belly of a whale, but that's what happened. And he said, you know, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall be no sign given to thee except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of God be in the heart of the earth. And that's exactly how long he was there. 72 hours, he ascended from that grave, rose victorious over death, held in the grave. And one day, that's the reason, dear friends, that our problems will be over some sweet day. But I love what he said there as he was in the belly of the whale. The seaweed was wrapped around his head. And he said, Lord, I know that I am cast out of thy sight. Lord, I'm cast out of thy sight. You know, they have all kind of tests now and scans that can look at what's going on in the inside of your body. And I think I'm thankful for those things. It helps them to develop a course of treatment. But he's saying, Lord, I'm out of your sight. You can't see me. I'm in the belly of a whale. But, you know, I just believe, Brother Wayne, that the Lord could see him. I believe he could see him. We're talking about the eyes of God here. And he knew where he was. And he knew the circumstances that he was in and why he was there. But he had mercy upon him, didn't he? He said, Lord, I know you can't see me, but I'm cast from thy sight. Yet, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Now, I believe God could see him, but I know he couldn't see the holy temple from the belly of a whale. But I tell you what, by an eye of faith we can see it. This morning I can see some who worshiped here who are not here anymore. They're down there in the cemetery. I can see them this morning. I can visualize them coming in this building. Because why? Because when I was a little boy, they came in this building faithfully, Sunday after Sunday, and were here at the Lord's house, remembering Zion. Pray, cast off thy ornaments, remember Zion. The next one we'll look at real quickly is trust in God. Trust in God. You know, Job said in Job chapter 3, verse 25, I think, the thing that I feared greatly has come upon me. What is your worst fear today? I have some, Brother Jamie, and I try to push them aside and pray I never have to deal with them. Pray they never become reality. But Job said, the thing that I feared greatly has come upon me. But Job also said in Job chapter 5, he be with us in six troubles. Yea, in seventh, no evil shall touch thee. I just want to tell you this morning, dear friends, that whatever problem you're facing in life, sometimes we bring things upon ourselves by the way we act, the way we live, things we do. But if we go to the Lord humbly and inquire in the tabernacle of the congregation, I believe He'll tell us, yeah, you got to go, but I'll go with you. I'll go with you. My presence will be with you. That old hymn of Williams Brothers out of Smithdale used to sing, I can't even walk without Him holding my hand. Let us remember Zion. Let's trust in God. You remember there was a time in Luke chapter 5, I believe it is, where, and I'll try to hasten up this morning, but in Luke chapter 5, we find Jesus Christ, he was there on the shore of the Lake Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, if you will. And there was a great multitude thronged Him to the point he couldn't even get space. And he saw two fishermen there cleaning their nets. And he asked them, would y'all mind putting me on your ship and let me go out a little bit from the land? And the Bible says he sat down and taught them out of the ship. There is nothing in the Bible that I find what he taught them on that occasion. I wish he was in this book. I wish I'd have known what he taught them. And after he got finished preaching to them and teaching them, he told the one, I believe it was Peter and Andrew, his brother, and I believe the other two were James and John. That's what I believe about it. But he said, launch out into the deep and let your net down for a drought. Now this is a carpenter telling a fisherman how to fish. But it's also the Son of God telling fishermen how to fish. He said, Master, I love how he started. I said, Master, we've toiled all night and we've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. They went out into the deeper water and they caught so many fish. Now, a drought, D-R-A-U-G-H-T, a drought, I think it's pronounced. I may mispronounce it, but a drought is just a sweeping action of a net from what I've studied. He didn't tell them they were going to catch fish. He said, launch out into the deep and let your net down for a draught. And they'll pull that net one more time. And they caught so many fish that the net began breaking, and they had to summon the other boat to come and help them bring in those fish. Trust in God. I think about those three boys in the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. And you've heard me say before, I don't call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I hope you don't either, because I know they hated those names. They cringed when they heard them, because those names were given to them by the Babylonians that honored Babylonian gods, lowercase g gods. But they said, I call them Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But they built a statue in the desert in the province of Dura that was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, 6 cubits by 60 cubits. Can you imagine what that thing looked like? And he said, anybody that don't bow down and worship when the music's played, if you don't bow down and worship this 90-foot statue in the desert, that you can be cast into a fiery furnace. And these three Hebrew boys said, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. You know what? I'm tired of political correctness. If it conflicts with thus saith the word of God, it's okay to stand against it. Do you understand me? But he said this. He said, I know this, Lord, that we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're not going to tell you what you want to hear. We don't know whether he will or not, but our God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. But he will deliver us from your hand, O King. And you know what, O Nebuchadnezzar, I believe it was there, you know, when went to that fiery furnace and looked inside, and there was flames there. It was extremely hot. They went there and he looked and he said, yo, didn't we cast in three? But yea, I see four. And the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Brother Joseph Shiles said this, and I've looked it up somewhat. This is the only translation of God's word, 1611 King James translation, that refers to that And the fourth is like unto the Son of God. I believe that's who was in that fire. And that's who will be in the fire with you. When you face troubles in this life and tribulations, He'll be with you. In six troubles, He'll be there. In the seventh trouble, no evil will touch thee. It's not going to remove all your problems. Yes, I can look through this congregation this morning, and I can look in the mirror, and I see people that are carrying burdens with you today. But Sister Debbie, His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. I don't know if He'll deliver my natural brother from the afflictions that he's facing right now, as far as medically speaking. But I believe He'll deliver him into His presence some sweet day. Please cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. I got to hurry up this morning. I'm only about halfway through with these things. How are we going to deal with these things? We're going to pray about it. We're going to cast away our ornaments, the thing that distract us from serving our God. We're going to remember Zion. We're going to trust in God. We're going to... What are we going to do? We're going to jump into action. We're going to jump into action. I left out repent. Turn with me for a minute to repentance. Let's see where I want to go. Go into 2 Chronicles chapter 33 real quickly. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. He reigned for longer than Hezekiah lived. And Hezekiah was a good king and Manasseh was an evil king. How did God let that happen? Because He's sovereign. Do what He wants. And He's always right. Whatever He does is right. But it said Manasseh did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, likened to the abominations of the heathen. Whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. You continue reading there, you'll find where he built the altars in the house of the Lord of these lowercase g gods in the place in Jerusalem where the Lord has said, My name shall be forever. He caused his own children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. He observed the times and used enchantments and witchcraft and so forth. Set up a carved image. An idol which he had made in the house of God. But then the Lord sent, if you look over to about verse 11, the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, He was God. If you're a child of God, He's not going to leave you in a condition where you're promoting evil. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But ideally what we do is when we're born again of the Spirit of God and the Lord sends forth the Spirit of Him into our heart whereby we cry, Abba, Father, and we go in these baptismal waters behind me or somewhere else in the running stream or another baptistry or whatever the case may be. From that point, our goal should be to persevere, to serve Him all the days of our life. You know, Manasseh waited until he got in trouble. Can you imagine the burdens that Manasseh had carried when he began to serve these other gods and caused his own children to pass through the fire? He can't get them back. He cannot get them back. That ship has sailed, dear friends. But he repented. God spoke to him, and he found himself in fetters and chains. He found himself at rock bottom before he began to look upward. And get out of that condition because of the marvelous grace of God the Father. Let's repent. Let's jump into action. Remember Nehemiah? You know, the book of Nehemiah, we look at this. He was a cupbearer for King Artaxerxes of Persia. Had a great responsibility as being cupbearer to the king. One of his most trusted servants in the palace. And word came there in Shushan in the palace. I believe it was in winter. Came there and told him, said, the land of thy father's sepulchres lie in waste, and the gates of the city are burned with fire. You know, sometimes we're away from home. We like to get good news from home. Give me a choice between good news and bad news. I'll take good news every time. My dad used to say, son, I got some good news and some bad news for you. Which one you want first? Yeah, you've been there. I said, Dad, give me the bad news first. Let's finish with the good news. But Nehemiah was cupbearer to the king. He jumped into action. Sometimes we have to jump into action to try to help these problems, to help people, the people we love that are carrying burdens in life. How can I help you? The best way I can help you is to get on my knees and pray for you. That's the best way I can help you. But y'all have helped me in so many ways across the years. When I was really, really, really struggling in this life, you know, brother Ronald Lawrence said down in Florida, he said we need to bring 3 books to the service of our God. We need to bring a good hymn book that has songs in it that honor God. We need to bring God's Word, this good book he called it, and to bring your pocketbook. And I'm not going to preach on giving. Brother Dick's not here, so I'm not going to preach on that today. Boy, what I'm saying is this. When I needed you most, those of you that been in this congregation for quite a while, you helped me so much. But you're going to have problems in this life. You're born of a woman, aren't you? So you got a few days and full of trouble. It may be 32 years like John the Baptist, maybe 33 and a half like Jesus Christ, maybe 54 like Hezekiah, maybe up to 62 for me right now. So I got way more years on earth than they did. And I want a lot more. I want a lot more. You've heard me say before, if I'm the only one in this congregation going to heaven today, I really don't want to go. And that may be a bad thing to say. But I talk about Philippians 1, 23, 24 all the time. I'm in a strait betwixt two. For me to depart and be with Christ is far better, but it's more needful for me to remain in the flesh for you. Jump into action. He went before the king, and it was a terrible thing to go before a king with a sad face. He went for the first time before the king with a sad countenance. And the king pointed out, said, you never come to me like this before. And he began to tell him about that problem. And he went back home. And they worked hard. They fought a lot. Go read the book of Nehemiah this week. They fought a lot. They fought a lot of resistance, but they continued on. They built that wall in 52 days. They finished the project. And there were some of the enemies, Sanballat and Tobiah, that were grieved when they found out that there was a person came to what about the welfare of Israel? To seek the welfare of the children of Israel. I may have misquoted that, but they were grieved when they found out that, oh my, somebody's come to rally the troops and rebuild the city. But again, God helped them to do that. God made it possible for them to do that in 52 days. So we need to, like we said this morning, we need to pray. We need to cast off our ornaments. We need to remember Zion. We need to trust in God. We need to repent. We need to jump into action. Two more. Eight's a good number. That's a number of new beginnings in the Bible. Eight is weep or cry. It's okay to weep or cry. So it's okay to do that. You'll find many, many of these in Scripture that wept, including the Son of God. He wept. I found out 3 different times it talks about Jesus Christ wept when he was on the earth. Peter. When the Lord told him, he said, Lord, I'll go with you to death. I'll go with you into prison. He said, no, you won't, Peter. No, you won't. Before the cock crows, you'll deny me 3 times. And when he heard that rooster crow, and he had denied the Son of God 3 times, when they said, yeah, you. One time he said he cursed and swore that he never knew him. And when he heard the rooster crow, he wept bitterly. I love a train sound. But I have one of my former students. I was coaching in basketball, and her daddy got pinned between 2 railroad cars down there at the freight yard at Boca Chica. He was talking to them fine until they pulled the cars apart. I don't think a train sound sounds very good to her. I love to hear that rooster crow too in the morning, but that wasn't somebody with me denying my Lord. I've denied him before. Brother Wayne Meyer said before that, you know, Judas Iscariot denied the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. And I've heard my daddy say on many occasions, that I've denied Him for less than that. I betrayed Him for less than that. Just don't betray Him. He's the best friend that you possibly have. He's it. He's, what a friend, Brother Doug. What a friend we have in Jesus. Weep. Joseph. We found in Scripture where you wept 8 different times. Mary Magdalene, I mentioned Mary Magdalene before in an effort to preach. There at the tomb of Jesus Christ on the day of His resurrection when the tomb was empty. And she didn't know where they laid Him. The Greek word they use there is called kraio, I think it is. K-R-A-I-O, which means to wail loudly. To wail loudly. You ever heard anybody cry like that? You know, Brother Jerry Myers, remember this church, they called him the Bull. Uncle Bull. I asked him at his visiting his home not long ago, and I heard it's because he was a bully at Carter's Creek. But I asked him, I said, how'd you get the name Bull? He said, my papa Thee Nettles, the elder Thee Nettles gave him that nickname. He said, because when I was just a little bitty boy, he said, when I cried, it was like a bellowing bull. He said, I cried so loudly. He said, my papa called me Bull. Sometimes it's okay to cry. I'm giving myself permission to cry, and I'm from a long line of criers. But Sister Addie asked me one day, said, Brother Mickey, why do you cry when you preach? I said, because I can't believe that I'm heir of promise. That one day, all the problems that I can't fix will be over, and I'll be in the presence of the Son of God. What a day that will be. Let's get to the last one real quickly. Stay the course. Stay the course. I'll close that. You know, David, in one of the Samuels, 2 Samuel chapter 12, you know, he had committed just a horrible... Oh boy, if it happened today, it'd probably be on television what he did with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. And Nathan came to him and told him about a man that there were two different men in the city. One owned a whole, had a whole lot of, had a huge flock, and one had one ewe lamb that was like a pet unto him. It was all he had. And then there was a traveler came through and said, instead of taking from his own flock, he took that one ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man. And David said, you know, the man that did this should surely die. And Nathan looked at David and said, thou art the man. You are the man. You're the one I'm talking about. You're the one that did this. And, you know, and understand young people, and young is a relative term. There are consequences for our actions. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. There are wonderful young people in this congregation that are tremendously gifted. Tremendously gifted. Great, great opportunities ahead of you, but don't ask the Lord to go with you. Ask Him to go with you. Don't go in the wilderness without Him. You're going to get consumed out there. Stay the course. You know, and that baby that was conceived in this adulterous relationship, the Lord said, the baby is not going to live. He lived 7 days. He lived 7 days. And while during that time, the Bible says that David fasted. But when the baby passed away, he started eating again. And they said, we don't understand. The servant said, we don't understand when the baby was sick, you refused to eat. And now the baby is deceased, you're going back to the table and eat. And what did he say? That baby shall not return to me, but I shall go to him. Stay the course. Stay the course. Pray. Cast off the ornaments. Remember Zion, trust in God, repent, jump into action, weep and cry when necessary, and stay the course. I preach these things to you this morning because I needed it. I need it badly. because there's a lot of problems I can't fix. And when people I love are struggling, Brother Jason, it's tough on me. It's tough. But I point you to a day where there'll be no more tears. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, for the former things will have passed away. But I say to you young people, if I can help you in any way, anybody in this congregation, if I can help you in any way, I want to know about it. Brother James, we've been called ministers in the Lord's church, and all the older members of this church, they're there if you need them, and we need each other. I trust if you have anything in what I tried to preach this morning, you give credit where it's due to the throne of God. Brother Jamie Fredette mentioned this morning, it's a difficult thing to stand up here, Brother James. And if the Lord's not with you, it's really tough. But I found out when I study, I'm not a gifted minister like some of these that come among our people, that I would walk great distances to hear them preach. But I trust the Lord will use me in some way to serve you and to point you in the right direction, that you may avoid some of these pitfalls in life and understand where to turn. May the Lord bless you. It's our prayer this morning.